Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 28, being recorded on Monday, December 10th, 2018, and we have a full house.
We're back!
Hi, everybody. We're at full strength.
Full strength?
The Avengers have fully assembled.
This is unprecedented.
It hasn't happened in a while. So who's here? Ladies first.
No.
John is!
Wow.
Tim's here.
That didn't go as planned.
You know who's here is people's sexiest Christmas sweater, John Stewart. Number 22.
Number 22, go to DCHSEMA on Instagram. We'll plug these at the end. But for those of you that listen for the second time in a row, my agency is doing an ugly Christmas sweater competition. Mine is directly show related. I finished second last year. Folks, this cannot happen again.
In the words of the Republic Senate, vote now.
Oh, Lord.
Vote often.
Yeah. So that was John. Liz, who is presently without Cat.
Oh. Trilly's at the vet getting her lady pants snipped.
Bye-bye, lady pants.
Oh.
She's going to have no more lady pants.
No more lady pants.
So, yes, I have an empty house, which made it possible for me to start work on my Rapunzel hair, because if I had that yarn, all the yarn around the kitten, it would not work out. So.
No, kitten and yarn does not, go together.
Nope. And I have an entire, giant Rapunzel hair that I'm working on for Christmas because my family dresses up for Christmas and I'm Rapunzel. Mm-hmm. This year's Disney, so I've got a full, body length thing of giant yarn that I'm going to braid into and figure out how to put in my hair and add flowers and have a whole thing. So she would only be in the way.
Very good.
Very good. So just me and the gents.
And how are you, Tim?
I am doing pretty darn well. For those who may not know, I had a rather minor surgery on Friday. I'm recovering well. I'm no longer on narcotics, which is a bit of a bummer.
But you're on wine, so that's a good thing.
I'm on wine. Yeah, I'm on W
a different
plus
type
one
of narcotic.
Bottle.
Right.
Wine and narcotics would not be a great combo.
No, they strongly advise against that, and I didn't even venture into that territory.
I mean, it'd be more fun for us, but, we don't recommend that.
That's right. So the big news for this episode is the trailer for the movie itself isn't newly announced, but the title of the movie is announced, and this is Avengers Endgame. This is what we were previously calling Avengers 4, and Endgame was one of the rumored titles for it. So that
I was calling it Aftermath. I thought that would be a good title, too.
Aftermath was another one of the big contenders, so.
I like Endgame, though, because it was referenced not only by Doctor Strange, but it was also referenced by Tony in Avengers 2, I think.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
So it's got a little extra meaning there. And it fits, I think, for what's coming.
Absolutely. So after we have a little bit of a news segment, and then we're going to kind of dedicate a lot of our time, effort, and energy to Avengers Endgame.
Obvi.
So first up for news. Black Panther was nominated for not one, not two, not 11, but 12 Critics' Choice Awards.
Rightly so.
Which is, that's kind of a crazy list. Let's see. So Black Panther is up for Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor for Michael B. Jordan, Best Acting Ensemble, which is totally hands down, should get it, Best Adapted Screenplay. For Ryan Coogler and Joe Robert Cole. Best Cinematography, Best Production Design, Best Costume Design, Best Hair and Makeup, Best Visual Effects, Best Action Movie, Best Song for All the Stars, and Best Score.
Yeah, I think
so. That is a heck of a list.
It's definitely well earned. It's 100% correct, and I think this bodes well going into, like, you know, the season, award season.
Yeah. So there are some other Marvel related movies that have come up on the Critics' Choice Awards radar for this year. Avengers Infinity War is up for two awards, which include Best Visual Effects and Best Action Movie.
Nice.
Deadpool 2 has been nominated in three categories. So Best Action Movie, Best Comedy, and Best Actor in a Comedy for, of course, Ryan Reynolds.
Well, fair enough.
And as what regularly happens, which kind of ticks me off a little bit, is that movies get nominated that have been not yet put out in wide release.
Yep.
Of course, it's coming up, like, what, this week? Which is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Right.
And it's got a nomination for Best Animated Feature, which I'm absolutely thrilled about. I think that's great. But it just bothers me when they haven't gone out on, like, actual public release yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's all part of the politics of awards shows. That's like how they,
yes,
they get it in on time kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yep. So that is that. Of course, after the Avengers Endgame trailer came out, there were some folks, and if hopefully you've seen the trailer, and again, we're going to be talking about the trailer here in just a little bit, but the trailer opens with Tony being in what I believe is the Guardians ship.
Yeah, the Benatar.
Yes. And he's sending what is to be basically his final message to Pepper. He's recording it from his helmet.
Right.
And he says, you know, hey, we ran out of food and water 4 days ago. We're going to run out of oxygen in the next day or so. It's not looking good. And what I think is pretty funny is that a lot of Marvel fans ended up tweeting NASA, asking them to step in and save Tony. So there were a lot of different tweets going out to them about this. And NASA, to their credit, played along. And actually, yesterday, which would be Sunday, responded saying, "Hey, Marvel, we heard about Tony Stark. As we know, the first thing you should do is listen in Mission Control for Avengers. We have a problem. But if we can't communicate, then we recommend ground teams use all resources to scan the skies for your missing man." And Marvel Studios responded, "We appreciate any help you can provide."
That's pretty funny.
So I like it when official government agencies, you know, and their social media accounts actually play along a little bit. I think it's fun. It keeps it light.
Yeah, I just wish that they had done it on their own rather than everybody, like, pinging them about it. It's like, that's weird to me that everyone was like, well, NASA should know about this. Like, what? But yeah. If NASA had done it on their own as part of, like, a marketing, it would have been, I think it would have been funnier just because that would have been NASA being on top of it rather than everybody, like, launching tweets at them. Like, they have nothing better to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It totally would have been weird. Funny if they were just engaged on their own.
Yeah. I mean, it's a funny interaction, and I like it. It just, like, I think this is, like, that whole, like, fans being weird about something, being like, why wouldn't NASA needs to know about this. Like, what? But if they had just been watching it and been like, oh, we can help with this, that would have been, like, hilarious to me. But
yeah,
it's fine. It's a cute interaction. And the fact that they did respond was pretty funny.
Is there anything else in MCU news that we need to talk about?
Official MCU news? No. Nothing like... Although, you put Far From Home in Sony when it technically is MCU. It's actually MCU news.
I didn't put it there. John put it there.
Well, that's why Skype kicked him off.
Yeah, there's a reason, folks, we haven't heard from John in the last few minutes, and that's because Skype booted him.
But it is, as we've discussed before, Far From Home is technical MCU. Even if it's Sony made, it belongs in the MCU.
There is this news item on Spider-Man Far From Home about the trailer or teaser or whatever it's going to be. So we know that late last week we got the first official trailer for Captain Marvel.
On Monday we got it.
Monday, yeah. So a full week ago.
We thought we were going to get Avengers on Wednesday. But we got it on Friday.
That didn't drop until Friday. And then they were saying that we might be getting the Spider-Man teaser or trailer like on Saturday, but that never really happened.
They got it at the convention instead, whatever the convention was going on this weekend.
Okay, which I think was in Brazil?
I don't know. I just saw that it...
Yes.
Okay.
CCXP.
Yes, CCXP.
In Brazil. So they got to see the trailer.
So we saw some reactions online. That's basically all we saw.
Yeah, there's, of course, plenty of things out there on Twitter. Folks saying that the trailer begins with Peter at a school event, shows the journey of his vacation, and then a big battle with Mysterio.
See, I don't like that people talked about what they saw. That pisses me off. If you got to see a preview...
Just like what we're doing?
Yeah, like, don't talk about it all. Don't say everything that happened, because when we get the trailer, we're going to want to see it. And, like, a play-by-play is not what Marvel and Sony have in mind for us. They're showing it to them as a special preview, not for us to, like, listen to some guy who saw it and hear his take on it. We have to have our own take. I don't like that. Don't you do it or I'm leaving.
No
play-by-play.
You know, you're right. Except the fact that I think, you know, Marvel's smart enough to know that if you show it to one person, they're going to put it on social media and it's going to blow up.
But nobody has put it on social media.
But they have.
No, they haven't, or else we would be seeing it.
Well, not the trailer itself, but like these narratives of it.
Well, that's why we ignore them, because they're wrong for doing it.
Oh, no, they absolutely are. I mean, they shouldn't be doing it, but of course people are going to do it. That's simply...
But we are going to have integrity and not tell everybody what we read. That is not what we're doing. We are vetoing that.
I don't disagree with you, Liz, but...
Good.
I mean, when you're fighting human nature on this stuff, you know, that's just kind of where you're at.
No, we fight. We will fight. I think that it's going to, like, when we see it, it's the same as if somebody saw the Avengers one before and then we had to hear them yapping about what they saw. Forget it. We get to see it for ourselves. And anybody who's sharing that information online, no, you get muted because you're a jerk. So don't do that. I think when I've been to cons when you get to see a preview of something before and it's really special and you don't go out and then blow it up for other people. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is a jerk move.
Oh, I totally agree.
Okay.
I absolutely agree.
Good.
I agree too.
John's back.
Good.
Yes, John is back.
I didn't even see that people were putting like a play-by-play out there. I just saw a couple of reactions of like that they were happy about it, which is what I prefer. Like, I don't care about hearing what you thought about it, but I don't want to hear every single detail through your voice. Like, shut your mouth.
Yeah, so there is plenty of stuff out there that does have, and of course what I gave is just like one very simple statement. There's folks who go into a lot of detail on it.
Yeah, which, and if you want to play-by-play, it is out there. Right, but we won't do it.
No.
So the real question is when are they going to put this trailer? And I'm okay with there being some room between these big trailers. I mean, we just got Captain Marvel a week ago. We got Endgame a few days ago.
It feels way too
soon.
Let people
soak these things in.
Yeah, it feels way too soon. I mean, Endgame isn't even coming out till April, and this isn't coming out till July. So it's too soon for that. Like, we just had these big things. Like, give us some time to, like, take that in and before, because this is part of the MCU. It is part of that universe. And it does, yeah. It is part of the piece of the puzzle. And what happens after Endgame is the events in this movie. So, like, give us some time, you know? I'm glad it didn't launch. And that's why I don't want to hear anybody's little yappy lips about it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with some room. John?
I would say give it New Year's, you know, yeah, kind of ish time period, something along those lines. But yeah, I mean, I think if it dropped, it almost kind of waters down the other two. I mean, there's only so much, and we're all excited, and we don't need all of our Christmas presents right at once.
Right. We got to open one on Christmas Eve. Let us wait.
Yeah. I'm very much inclined to agree.
Yeah.
So you guys have seen the new trailer for Once Upon a Deadpool, right?
OMG. I did not care about Deadpool PG-13 until this trailer, and then I was like, all right, that's probably going to be magical.
This is so funny. So folks, if you haven't seen this, I mean, of course, it's all over, well, pretty much everything links to YouTube on it.
Right.
It's fantastic. It's basically an ad for Nickelback is really what it comes down to.
So funny.
It is Deadpool talking to Fred Savage. And it is just so irreverent. And it's just funny.
Exactly what you expect from Deadpool at this point.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Because I think there's maybe one mention of the movie in this trailer, but beyond that, it's just like, it's not even self-referential. It's just, no,
it's just funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think starting from like that Good House, Better Homes and Gardens or Good Housekeeping cover that we talked about that he did back, mm-hmm, I don't know, like, was it last Christmas or before that or something? Not even near when the movie was coming out, but like, just part of their general marketing campaign of keeping it in your mind in new and different ways. So it doesn't necessarily, mm-hmm, have to talk about the movie because, like, you get it.
Yeah. And that comes out later this week. And you can certainly expect to find me in the movie theater watching that. Not the rest of my family, unfortunately. They're not Deadpool fans. But I will be there.
There's a lot to see right now. Like, I have to prioritize.
Yeah, there's some pretty good stuff in the theater.
Well, and but coming out, is, like, Aquaman, Bumblebee, Mary Poppins Returns, like, they're all coming up.
Yep.
Very, yeah, I'm not excited about any of those.
Mary Poppins Returns? You're wrong.
I will fix see it, that John. On rental. Michael Bay ruined the Transformers for you, me. Thank you very much, Michael Bay.
That doesn't have anything to do with Mary Poppins Returns.
No, but you mentioned Bumblebee.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm saying
Bumblebee
the only...
is not done by Michael Bay, though.
That's right.
I understand, but he ruined.
Yeah,
ruined Transformers.
Yeah, but this is going to fix it for you because it's got Hailee Steinfeld, and we like her.
We like her.
We do. All
like
three of us.
We.
No, the three of us. I speak for us.
I still haven't seen the new Harry Potter movie, so.
Oh, me neither. I'm behind.
Oh, the new Fantastic Beasts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I've been watching many holiday rom-coms and making a complete list of what's available. For you, Tim. For you.
We all know.
But the real topic of discussion tonight is the Avengers Endgame trailer and everything that went through our brains when we saw it. Every little detail.
Yeah.
Do we need to say spoiler alert?
No, because this is something that if you like watched it, you get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it is out there for you to watch yourself. And we are not blowing up any spots here.
That's right. This is officially released by Marvel. It's out there. If you haven't seen it, go see it.
Yeah.
See it many times.
This I was going to say, looking at the numbers, who hasn't seen it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So this thing broke the record previously held by Infinity War for the most number of views on YouTube within the first 24 hours.
Well, one of the things that you and I were talking about last week, Tim, when we were missing John, was that there is this standard for trailers now, and this is it. You know what I mean? I think only Avengers films and Star Wars movies hit that. Not even standalone Marvel movies, but Avenger compilation, team movies. And Star Wars movies hit this sort of standard of the emotion and the fervor and the spending all day on Twitter talking about it. Cause not even Captain Marvel really got anywhere close to that. We weren't talking about it all day. I didn't watch the trailer 20 times. You know, it's really this standard is this trailer. And I think a lot of things get held up to this standard, but it shouldn't be. This is its own weird animal. And it's its own thing.
And what I loved about this one, it really didn't reveal anything that we didn't know. And yet,
I think the Ronin thing was new. I think the Ronin thing was different, which was the perfect thing to reveal that because fair. Hawkeye was so talked about in the first missing in the first one,
right.
And Ant-Man, so to really highlight the two of them, but to show him as potential Ronin, you know, I think
I guess I just already figured that was determined that was happening. So okay.
Oh, see. Yeah, I didn't think about where he was going to be or what he was going to be doing. So I think it revealed something new to people who weren't expecting that, but it wasn't anything that was a spoiler. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just something to be anticipation right. for.
It was one of those things that was pretty heavily rumored, but we hadn't had it confirmed. So.
Right. This is beautiful confirmation, but it hit, I think, a lot of the emotion, which is what you would expect from this trailer over anything else. You don't need storyline. You don't need plot points revealed because that's kind of the thing that we're waiting on. And you don't want that ruined in a trailer, in a 2-minute trailer. You just want to have that emotion and that the build up to the feeling. And that's, I think, what they accomplished.
Yeah, there were some people who expressed that they weren't happy with this trailer because it didn't really show them hey, here's any action or anything.
What?
But
is
quite honestly,
wrong with
this
people?
This trailer was exactly where it needed to be. Because
oh, absolutely.
When you think about the ending of Infinity War, you're then starting off the next movie with sheer desperation. And this is exactly where this trailer should have been. This trailer was about desperation.
And heart,
and
I think.
I thought it was great.
And I think a lot of heart, you know?
Here's what I would say to those that want action in this trailer and everything else. Would you have wanted in a return of the very first Return of the Jedi trailer to see Han Solo be bopping around to know, oh, Han's okay. Or to see, hey, Luke's got a new lightsaber in a hand. No, you wouldn't have. You would have been pissed. So guess what? Hush.
I don't understand that. I think that it's indicative of this animal where people can't just accept the ride. They have to be oh, I would have done it this way and that's right. No. Enjoy the ride. That's part of what they've created is this amazing just world to be a part of and to see what they've created, not to be I would have done it another way. That drives me crazy. So the things we liked about it, I don't want to talk about anybody who didn't like it. I don't even want to talk to anybody who didn't like it because I can't handle it. I'm too excited. You know what I did when it came out? First of all, I watched it 7 times immediately back to back. And then I went back and watched Infinity War because I haven't seen Infinity War since it was in the theaters because
really,
it is so heavy and you need a break, you know? So, which is, I think I saw it 3 times in theaters, which is a small amount for me as far as Avengers and Star Wars movies is concerned. I usually see them 8 or 9 times in the theaters because I have money to burn. But because it is heavier, it wasn't one that I was like, oh, I'll just watch it multiple times because it is just so heavy. So I haven't seen it since it was in theaters, but I was like, must watch now. And so I watched it and basically cried through the whole thing. I don't know why. I was just so emotional about it. And then I watched the trailer after watching the movie, and it was glorious, and I cried more. And it was like the best day. I was like, this is a great day. And so that's what I did.
So before we get into any dissection of this, I do want to mention that at the very end of the trailer, they give us a new release date.
Yes, they did. Yes.
So they move this up by a week, I guess, from May 3rd to now May, or yeah, from May 3rd to now April 26th.
Which tracks with what they did with the release date this year for Infinity War. They did move it up, you know?
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense, and I like it. Although I liked the way they did it this year better, obviously, because it was funnier.
And the April date was the original, at least in England, their release date. So, I mean, originally they had an earlier release date. So now it matches up, which really only makes sense. And I feel like that's one of the changes last year, too.
Yeah, that was the main reason for the whole thing, was so they could have wide release on the same day. So it makes sense that they do it again, because that cuts down on spoilers. It cuts down on, you know, like it keeps the whole world sort of like enamored at the same time, which is brilliant marketing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, John, you want to lead us through?
So in a way to mildly try to keep this kind of organized, and as opposed to just, you know, we could go scene by scene, we could go just kind of general thoughts. Wanted to kind of touch on where our heroes are. And I focused it more on the original Avengers and then kind of lumped everybody into everyone else.
That is an excellent way to start, because that is what this movie is going to be about.
It's their closing arc. So, you know, and it opens with Tony. It opens with Iron Man. And
so appropriate.
The sheer kind of desperation, you know, in that moment, you know, on the ship, you know, the food and water ran out 4 days ago. Oxygen's going to be out by morning, and he's recording a video to Pepper. And who knows if she's ever going to get it, but, you know, that's his final thoughts. His final thoughts are on her, as he basically realizes, pun intended, this is his endgame.
I think he's more of a stage of resignation than desperation, because he's sort of like, well, this is where we're at, you know? And I think the one thing that's interesting is that Nebula's on there with him, you know, and that, like, he isn't alone, but he sort of is, because Nebula is Nebula, which is an interesting, it's interesting to put the two of them together in that way. But I think it also is beautiful symmetry, because he is the beginning of the MCU. And so to sort of like really hit hard that, you know, what his story is going to be and where he's going to be going into this movie, it's the perfect way to open, because it is him. He's the start. He's the beginning, you know?
And to me, it the way he looked, And it was the facial expressions, to me, harkened back to his portrayal when he was in the cave in, it wasn't Afghanistan, but whatever stan they created for the first movie.
Yes.
But I mean, in the, you know, at that point, he thought he was done. And very similar, you know, to this. To me, there seemed to be great symmetry between those two scenes.
Yeah, I love that. I love setting this up, and I think he's the perfect way to open the trailer and just to find out where he is, because, like I said, he is the beginning of the MCU and the person who made it all happen. So, and RDJ is like, saying goodbye to him is going to be hard if that's what we're doing, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
What about you, Tim? Timothy?
I don't know that I necessarily have anything else to add that you guys haven't already covered.
Okay. All right. Well, then what about, well, you know, we'll save this one for Liz. Liz. Cap.
My human cookie dough?
Yes.
First of all, that like one gentle tear streak down his cheek, like choked me up so hard. I was like, no, Cap needs a hug. I think the other, like, Tony may be the catalyst for the MCU, but Cap is the heart of the MCU. So to start to also like really hit hard, I think the beauty of it is hitting hard on the six, you know, like really having moments for all of them. But Tony and Cap, because of Civil War and because of the events of them being so different in the MCU, like they are the two like juggernaut pieces that we really need to like have settled at the end of Endgame, because they are the two most likely not to be returning. And even if they're back for in a Stanley capacity where, like, you know, they show up, but it's never going to be the same as what we've seen and the journey we've been on. So saying goodbye to both of them is going to be really, really difficult. And I think out of everybody, those are the two that we are most likely to say goodbye to. So, you know, him being with Natasha, which I love them pairing up and sort of always being in the trench together from Winter Soldier, they have that connection. So it makes sense that they're like, you know, figuring everything out together. I love that for them. I secretly ship them together. Sharon Carter is a no and Bruce Banner is a no. The two of them belong together. Come at me.
So what do you feel about
his emotion in the midst of it? I think it was so beautiful, and it definitely choked me up.
What do you think about him wearing the Winter Soldier uniform?
Well, I read something about Camp, what's his face? Lehigh? Camp Lehigh? Is that what it's called? The one that where he trained in Brooklyn?
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, I read something about like the set of Camp Lehigh being, I think that's the name of it. I'm getting that wrong, or I'm not sure. But anyways, being recreated. So if he's going, if there's some sort of a travel back in time kind of element, it makes sense that he'd be wearing the Winter Soldier gear.
Okay.
Otherwise, I mean, that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite costumes of his. So the thing I'm devastated about, you guys, devastated, I'm gutted, is Cap's beard. What the junk? Don't you take away Cap's beard. It was the best.
But Liz, I still have mine.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but it's not as good as Cap's. I mean, no beards are, really. I like a freshly shaved Chris Evans, but like Cap's beard is OG.
But if he's going back in time,
I don't care. I want it. It doesn't have to make sense, John. I want him to go back in time, but I also want him to have a beard, even though it doesn't fit. Back in time, I want it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Liz has spoken.
I have spoken. So that's a lot of my Twitter friends were like, where is his beard? We were all collectively very distressed by the lack of beardage, but I get why, and it's fine.
He is off of Nomad. He's back to Cap.
I like Nomad. It's fine. He has to get back to Cap. That's the only thing that would make sense to say goodbye to the character. He can't end as Nomad. He has to do the passing of the shield, or, you know, die in the glory, or go back in time and be with Peggy or whatever, but he has to do it as Cap. So I get it. And I'm on board.
So what about Black Widow? Always the pulling the strings, the... You call Cap, you know, the heart of the Avengers. I had it on the tip of my tongue of what I would then consider Black Widow, and it just slipped away.
Go ahead, Tim.
Like, in a good way, she is the devil's advocate.
I think she's also like a bit of a conductor, like, or the engineer of the train, not necessarily, like, Cap is the leader, but she's very much like the implementer, you know, she makes sure the train is running for Cap to be able to call the shots.
Yeah.
She's the hand of the Avengers.
Yes. Ooh.
Yeah. In a lot of ways. I mean, like Liz said, she makes sure that things are there and able to happen. She's the one who, like, she becomes the litmus test. So someone will pose a plan and she will kind of run through that plan in her head and give the what ifs.
Well, I mean, and we...
It's a great role. It's a very important role.
And we see that she's the one that goes and finds Hawkeye.
Oh, her face when she sees him, I think, is another, like, beautiful little nugget of emotion that they throw in there that's so easily conveyed with that one look where she's like she really feels like she may have lost Clint, but she's also like, there's also surprise in there, you know, like.
Oh, when it's the.
Did she know?
The voiceover at that point, and I know we're kind of blending into Hawkeye. I mean, that was the perfect, you know, some have lost family, and you just the look on his face, and you're like, that is a man who lost his family and thus lost his. I won't continue it because then Tim has to do some editing.
No, well, he certainly lost his way and basically doesn't give a damn about anything. And that's how he ends up in Japan. And I mean, there's a whole comic line with Hawkeye turned Ronin where he has lost his family. He ends up falling in with the Yakuza and ends up like basically turning to a life of crime.
Well, and there's
in a lot of ways. And
In the Ultimate Comics, when he makes that transition, he basically, and I don't know how, Mirrors basically becomes an assassin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, with good intent, but basically he doesn't care if he lives or dies, but he's going to exact his pound of flesh.
Right.
Well, I think it's super interesting because the Avengers were his family and to sort of lose them in the aftermath of Civil War by being under house arrest and not being able to be a part of the Avengers. And then what we are assuming is that his family is lost in the snap and he loses his actual family, who was the only thing he had left. He loses two families in a way. Mm-hmm. So now to like be pulled back in by Natasha, who's definitely like the family, not non-blood, the family you make, not the family you're born with, right? And so that look for her, to go back to Tosh, is like her, that look of hers was really powerful, and I thought it really conveyed so much of what we love about the two of them, and it really harkened back to Avengers when they have a lot of moments together. Original Avengers, that's like the most we ever see, or like, you know, when they're fighting in Civil War and they're like, they have that camaraderie, and this is like, that's broken, and you feel that from her. So it really transfers between the two of them, and they have really been a pair for so long. Even if in Infinity War, they didn't have that relationship because he was missing. But I think that makes this more powerful that he was missing from the action with his family, with his work family, you know? So I'm excited to see that. I don't know much about the comic book line, but I've seen more about it since the trailer came out. So I'm excited to see like where I think I said this on one of the other podcasts that anybody who is upset about Scott and Clint missing from not only the Infinity War trailer, which we heard a lot about, people pissed off that the two of them weren't in the trailer, but then they weren't even in the movie. So now I think they're going to get like, they're going to have that redemption and we're going to see so much of them. So people can shut up about it.
and I'll be curious to see, and I hope they do. And maybe it's Natasha bringing him back to the Avengers, that transformation of him from Ronin back to Hawkeye, similar as Cap going from Nomad to Cap again.
I think we'll definitely see that. This seemed like it was indicating that.
Yeah.
In a beautiful way.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a real interesting thing for Hawkeye. I mean, he's very much an introvert. Mm-hmm. He is very much a loner.
Yeah.
And he works great in a team environment. I mean, we saw, especially in the first Avengers movie, once he kind of came back from being under control of Loki, he was a fantastic participant in the team. But he's a loner. Well, you know, he is a lone operative. He's the guy who, you know, think about when we first saw him in the first Thor movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you up know, he perch. Was sitting up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was up on top of the tower. And, you know, that's how he operates, kind of like a sniper, but, you know, with a bow and arrow. And
but I would also
he had his farm, which was not quite off the grid, but, you know, really no one knew about where it was except for Nat. And she was the only connection. She's the only person who had ever been introduced to his family before. So
yeah,
he's always very much done his own thing. And I think that they've stayed very true to that character through the entire arc.
But you also saw...
It makes sense to me that he wouldn't be reaching out to any of the remaining Avengers after the snap, because he was already fed up with it. So there's no reason now to reach out to them to say, hey, you know, if you guys get the band back together, I'm in.
Well, the fact
he was already done.
The fact that he accepted house arrest rather than fighting it in the midst of the Sokovia Accords says a lot about the decision that he made.
Yep.
But John, what were you going to say?
I was trying to think of the line his wife uses when they're on the farm about his role.
Oh yeah,
on the team and
about their humanity.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, I mean, he's, you know, intermingling, you know, with gods and super soldiers and tech geniuses, and he's a guy who shoots a bow and arrow. And Tim, I don't disagree with anything you've said, but I also think that, you know, his sense of loyalty and yes, he is an introvert. But I mean, you see that great moment he has with Scarlet Witch in
I love that.
You know, Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when he comes back in Civil War and Scarlet Witch asks him basically, what are you doing? He's like, Cap called, I came.
Yeah.
I mean and so I agree with you, Liz. He wouldn't be one who picked up the phone and called Avengers headquarters and said, you know, hey, is anyone there? What's going on? I'm out here, I'm available. But as soon as they reached out to him, which we saw, you know, presumably with Black Widow, you know, he'll come back because, you know, as Liz, you pointed out, that's his other family and his sense of loyalty and belonging to that. And yes, he wanted out after Age of Ultron and somewhat reluctantly came back in for Civil War. But, you know, he does have that, which is true with a lot of introverts. You know, they are, but when it comes to family, they're very loyal and very protective and very willing to do and support them.
Well, I think that's the interesting part of his character, that like he has both sides. He has the loyalty, but he also has like the you know, loner sort of vibe to him, because they're both prevalent. I think that they can both reside within him, and at different times the different needs appear. He can go on his own when his family is snapped and he doesn't know who to turn to, but if Nat shows up, he's going to be there for the team. Like, he does have both of those inside of him. So I think this is going to be the most we get to explore that and see that play out on screen for him than we've seen the whole series. Because, well, as far as we know, we're not getting a standalone for Hawkeye. Well, we will have, in the next 5 years, a standalone for all the other six main Avengers other than Hawkeye. So this is the most we'll get, because we are getting Black Widow. We won't ever get to fully explore those pieces of his character except for here. So this is where we're really going to see that played out. Unless they, you know, who knows what they'll do with him. But to date, we haven't seen that fully play out. You know, he's sort of been there, but like, he's like gravy, you know, like he's not like the necessary components, but that's what makes that line from his wife so beautiful of like, he is necessary to remind them of their humanity, to be a part of the team because he's not enhanced, because he's not a god, he still shows up, you know, that means something. So I think we're going to get to see a lot of that, the flavoring of all sides of his personality in this movie.
So someone we didn't see, well, we didn't see it all. We saw Bruce Banner, but in a very limited role. Bruce was one of those where, yes, he was in it, but it was very brief. He wasn't very prominently featured in this trailer. And similar to Thor, in fact, I actually had to watch it the second time to be like, was Thor in it?
He is.
of the brief kind of run through with him. And I'll be curious to see if in the second trailer teaser, they delve more into either one of those and kind of where they're at. Because all we saw with Bruce was he was looking at the basically images of the Fallen.
Or the supposed Fallen.
Because, the supposed Fallen.
Because Scott is on there and Shuri's on there. And a lot of people on Twitter were saying how much Shuri has been confirmed to be living. Well, we know we know Peter has fallen, Tom in real life. Yeah. They might not necessarily know that. So he is what. It's like the supposed Fallen, not necessarily That's the true. Actual Fallen, because Scott's on that list. And That's we true. Know Scott lived.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is an important distinction, because I didn't think about that either, because I said, Shuri's gone. And someone was like, no, she's confirmed to have survived the snap. And I was like, well, then why is she on this list? And someone else was like, well, Scott's there. We know he's alive. And I was like, oh, good point. So it is the supposed Fallen.
Yeah, and I'll be curious about that, especially when it comes to Shuri, because, I mean, they were all in Wakanda. I mean, if she ends up being still alive, where did she go? Because they were already there.
Yeah, so, but she was separated from everyone else. You know, she wasn't on the playing field. She was in the tower. So if something happened where they had to leave quickly or whatever the case may be, she was separated from everybody else.
That's true. That's true.
You know, so they might not have thought of, I don't know. Who knows? Like, that's all the conjecture stuff, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And when it comes... So, I'm similar to what we've talked about with some of the other characters, and you could kind of see this, and this is what I thought the trailer did a really good job with, the conveying the emotion of the heroes, and Thor sitting there, and, I mean, reminiscent of Infinity War, where he's talking to Rocket and, you know, well, my father died and then my hammer got destroyed. and then I had to kill my sister. And then my brother died and my planet was destroyed. And, you know, the tear of he's got, you know, if this doesn't work, he's got nothing left to live. And he had the kill shot on Thanos. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, because as, you know, Thanos said, you know, you should have gone for the head. You know, the snap happens. And how much of that does Thor internalize of he had the final shot to stop it, and he didn't? And well, how much of that is weighing on him?
Yeah, I think that look we see in the trailer speaks volumes to, like, the turmoil he's probably going through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to really... I mean, he's got such a blip in there, but, like, I think he and Star-Lord, out of everybody, have very, very personal roles to play in not stopping Thanos, whether on purpose or didn't think about the brain, you know, the headshot kind of thing. But I think, obviously, Star-Lord won't deal with his guilt because he got snapped. but yeah, you can tell from that shot. What I would have loved to see is Rocket next to him, because we know Rocket survived. So I want Rocket and Thor to be like teaming up in the midst of, you know, no Groot. I need Thor to be like Rocket's adopted Groot for a while. That's what I'd like.
And that was one of the biggest complaints that I saw with the trailer, was the lack. I mean, Nebula was really the only, and I mean, they, you kind of, you know, got a shot of Thanos.
Yeah.
But minus, but there were, I mean, Rocket wasn't in there. Captain Marvel wasn't in there. They really didn't show any of the other heroes. And I was actually really okay with that. To me, well, we know they yeah. play a role, but I didn't want to see them. I wanted to see the OGs. And
but they didn't belong in this trailer. This is about the main six, the people who started it, and passing the baton. And that's what this movie is going to be. Mm-hmm. So to see any of the other characters, we know who survived. And we know the ones who we don't know if they survived. They don't want to tell us or not if Shuri made it. You know, we already knew Scott made it from Ant-Man and Wasp. So, mm-hmm. like, they didn't give us those. They didn't tell us anything we didn't already know besides Ronan, I think, confirming that little piece. Mm-hmm. And I think we didn't need to see Rocket. We knew he survived. Why do we need to mm-hmm. see him in there? You know?
It is
about the six.
Tim, what are your thoughts about Ant-Man in the trailer? Because you and I talked about it, and I would like our entire audience and the entire network, can you repeat what you said about Ant-Man in the trailer? And Tim, if you get it wrong, I still have the text.
Yeah, you better say the right thing.
No, legitimately, I am actually totally cool with it. I think that his appearance in the trailer, first of all, in terms of like the pacing and the feeling of the trailer, was very appropriate because the trailer needed to actually end with a bit of levity.
Yeah.
Given how like deep, dark, and depressing the trailer was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that we necessarily need the explanation for how he escaped from the quantum realm from the mid-credit scene in Ant-Man and Wasp. We just kind of assume that it happened, and I'm okay with that. The movie may end up giving some explanation of it, but I just don't think we need it.
Okay.
And I think it's appropriate for the character. I mean, this event, which, by the way, is apparently being like officially coined as, quote, the decimation.
Yes, I saw that.
Which I can sometimes be a little bit of a grammar Nazi. And decimation means 1 out of 10. Even though this is 50%, but okay, whatever. They're calling it the decimation.
Call it a snap over here.
Yeah, I'm still done with the snap.
Wow.
But it totally makes sense, I think, for his character at some point to be seeking out the other Avengers, particularly Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Who had, you know, recruited him directly in Civil War. And so I'm cool with it. I think it's good. And look, if there is, as rumored to be, a lot of involvement of the quantum realm, particularly as a vehicle for time travel, maybe. I mean, there's a lot of different things rumored with it. But certainly heavy involvement of the quantum realm is something that has been mentioned quite a bit. Then clearly Scott Lang, Ant-Man, needs to be a big part of that. So they have to bring the character back into the fold.
I think that's how we'll get the explanation about the quantum realm. I think you're right, Tim, like explaining how he got out. That's how we're going to know that they can go back is like they're going to mm-hmm. be like, hey, I did it. Now let's go do it. It's not going to be like, I hope they don't spend a lot of time on it because we really don't need it. Like, they're superheroes. At some point, like, we're here for the ride. Like, just put them where you need them for the action to start. But the other thing I think that I'm glad they didn't do was put Captain Marvel in the trailer, because we just had the Captain Marvel trailer. And we don't want to...
Yep.
Those are pieces that we have to get to. And that's what we have to wait for the movie to come out to get those pieces in an end credit scene or a mid credit scene. Like, that's where we're going to be set up for that. So to give that away, we know she's coming. We know she's going to be in the movie. We don't need to see her. That's not what this trailer's for. It's not for setting up the big things that we're waiting to see. It's for the emotion. And so that's what they did, and that's how they delivered. So because I think it was beautiful to pair the Captain Marvel trailer with the Endgame trailer in the same week, with a full week between them, you know, with a full like 5 days between them, so that you could feel that anticipation. They do belong together. They are going to be part of each other, but like, she doesn't need to be in there. We got her trailer. Yeah. We have this trailer, you know, so I don't know why anybody would be upset. She's not in there. We got a full trailer of her.
And Liz, you made a great point. And something I was about to say, I really hope we've seen the next trailer. I actually kind of now hope, you know, you've got about a month and a half-ish between movies. Your great point was, you know, Captain Marvel not needing to see her in the trailer, how she comes in. I would love to see how she comes in, not in a trailer. I would like to see how she comes into play in a mid-credit or end credit scene in her movie. Similar to how they wrapped up Ragnarok ended, you know, with the start of Infinity War. I would love to see them kind of repeat that. And the biggest rumor I've heard that I would love to see is she's the one that saves Tony. She's on her way back to Earth, and she, in all the great vastness of space, somehow, you know, on her way back, she stumbles upon their ship, and she saves and brings Tony back.
Right. That's
And I also think that would be a good passing.
Those passing are pieces of the torch that I think that we can feel are being put into place, and we don't need confirmation. That's what the freaking movie's for.
No. Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't want to see that in a trailer, but I think that would be a great, you know, end credit scene for her to kind of like come on board the ship.
I could see her like flying through space and like, she just like is standing there before the, you know, before the ship, and then it goes dark. Like that's, like, yeah. I think that would be perfect.
Yeah, something along those lines, so that you know, and then you're like, oh, wait, I've got to wait 6-7 weeks? Crap.
Yeah. What I'm guessing we're going to get is we're going to get three primary trailers. You know, of course, it usually for TV spots, they kind of jumble things around a little bit over time. But there's going to be three main releases of trailers that I'm guessing. So this being the first one, which is really focused on the desperation of it all. The next trailer is going to focus on conflict. And that, I think, is where maybe we're going to see a little bit of Captain Marvel in there. We're going to see some kind of fights, but they're going to be, I think they're going to be very well done trailers. They're going to be out of context. We're not really going to understand what's going on, where they are, when they are, or any of that. And then I think the third trailer is going to be kind of more oriented toward hope. And I think that's where we're going to see a lot more Captain Marvel in it. And we're going to see, you know, I don't expect that the trailer is going to give away the resolution of the movie, but I think it's going to start leading us down that path. And we're probably going to see some of the characters that have been dusted, if you will. We're going to see some images of them. And again, we're not going to know where we're seeing them, when we're seeing them. We're not going to know any of that context, but I think we're going to see those characters. So, you know, the viewers are getting this idea of, all right, we're going to see this, you know, this resurrection, if you will, of these characters. We still don't know what the ultimate disposition will be of them, and if any of them will be, you know, dead with a capital D. But I think that's going to kind of be the flow of it. I mean, that's just something that makes sense to me, and that engages audiences, and it keeps people talking about the movie and guessing about, you know, what the flow of the movie is going to be like.
I could buy that. I mean, I think
that's my prediction.
But Liz, I think you pointed this out on the last podcast. They very clearly have a plan. They have a story to tell this story before the movie, and do it in a way to really... It's not necessarily geared for the three of us or people like the three of us, or probably for most of our listeners, because they already have our money. In fact, actually, I went on Fandango to see if I could already buy tickets. I couldn't. Not yet. I'll keep trying. But I mean, they'll build it in a way to continue to get, you know, even more of those casual fans. And, you know, figure, I mean, this has been 10 plus years in the making. They've got it well thought out how to close this out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they know everything that's going to happen. I mean, they're working on their next 10-year plan. So these are going to be the breadcrumbs into the leads into the future after Endgame. So I think that's the most exciting part. Aside from saying goodbye, that's the sad part. But the exciting part is to see like what they're going to set up for the future. Because you know this is going to set them up for, you know, Black Panther 2 and Far From Home and whatever that holds for the Guardians and Captain Marvel, the second movie, and Doctor Strange 2. And like everybody's the future, you know. So that's, I think that's like the cool, exciting part. And the hard part will be saying goodbye. Especially to Cap. I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry right now thinking about it. Don't leave me cookie dough. Yes, I'm calling so you John, cookie dough from now
on. you had this in here as a list of our heroes. And I added Thanos to the list because, of course, Thanos actually did nothing wrong in this. What he did was for the betterment of the intergalactic society.
What? We don't say that.
So we do get a little bit of a look at Thanos. We first of all kind of get another shot of his armor hanging up like a scarecrow in the middle of his field. And then just a brief bit of him walking with his infinity gauntleted hand in the, you know, the wheat or whatever it is that might be in whatever alien planet that he's on. Do we think that Thanos is actually doing anything at this point? Or is he kind of just like chilling, like, hey, I did my thing. I accomplished my life goal. And that's that.
I think he is. I mean, I think that's what we have to presume until somehow the, in whatever form or fashion it is, the Avengers bring the fight to him.
Liz, any thoughts?
I say it again.
Where is Grimace?
Well, I like that they had the Scarecrow shot, which is directly from the comics. That's interesting to me. I'm not all about he's right or anything, but he accomplished his goal, so he's sort of like he's incredibly wrong. But he's like he's celebrating his victory and he's living like the peace of knowing he accomplished his goal. So now it does feel like the fight will come to him. You know, like how else will they, there's nothing else to entice him to Earth. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I think it's, and he had the broken gauntlet on him, right? That's what in the shot, it looked like he had it on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go to him if they need the thing that caused the destruction in the first place to reverse it, or, you know, I don't know if that's right. Going to be it. If it's time, if time is involved, you know, who can tell? But it does feel like something has to go to him, or they have to, something like that. So it's interesting that he's sort of living his best life right now. He's sure. Like in his happy place. And I think that's an interesting place for him to be because he's as wrong as he is Hitler-esque. He really had this journey of strife throughout his whole life. And so now he's living in that peace of having wiped out the half of the entire universe.
He's literally hung up his armor.
Right. To scare off anybody coming in.
Well, he no longer has to physically go planet to planet and destroy half their population.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything that he's done his entire life, he no longer has to do. Yeah, so he's like... chill Thanos. He's like playing some PS4. He's eating some Cheetos.
Doing Thanos things, you know.
Doing Thanos things as Thanos does.
When you have an Infinity Gauntlet, sure.
Yeah. Yep. You can do all those things. So, there's our trailer for That's Avengers it, Endgame. Coming out April 26, 2019. Any final comments for the good of society that you guys might have?
Yes. Things I desperately want to know in the movie that they better not forget. Korg better not be forgotten. He better show up. I need to know what happened to Korg.
Okay. True.
That's like my main, I was like, well, Korg. So that's.
And Valkyrie.
Yeah, Korg and Valkyrie, who I assume are together. They have to be.
Yeah.
I expect them to be players. I hope that they are. And you know what would be amazing is that the dusted, you know, we know a lot of our main players are dusted. So this is the chance to let a lot of people who there wasn't space to put because it's such a heavy with players film in the first one and the second one too. Because there's so many people to think about, and we know that a lot of our favorites are dusted, there's room to tell some new stories in the midst of that, like Valkyrie and Korg. And I mean, I would love to see like Zendaya's MJ be in there somehow, or like, you know, any of those like little, the players that we hope to see come to fruition in the future. This is an opportunity to tell some of those stories in the midst of having so many characters be dusted, you know?
Do we know if Wong, what was Wong's status?
Yeah, we don't know about Wong. Ned.
I would like to see Wong hanging out with Valkyrie. Wong. I think that would make a nice little combination there.
Yep.
Yeah, Wong, Korg, Valkyrie, Ned. I'm very devastated to see that Louise is not driving the van. So, not happy about that. You know, a lot, like, there's just so many other characters. And did we see Happy? No, we didn't see Happy.
Nope.
No Happy. You know, there's just, it's tough. There are so many characters to take care of. And that, I think, given the world of Marvel and what they do is they don't just create half-ass characters that you don't care about. Like, we care about Happy, and we care about Ned, and we care about Louise, and we care about Wong, and we care about all these, like, little randos that come out that are wonderful, you know, that you're like, oh, we'll have that character in there, maybe he'll do great, but then we're like, excuse me, we need Korg. You made Korg, and he's wonderful, and then you didn't tell us where he is.
The thing is, they created a lot of really terrific B-level characters to support this entire journey.
Yeah.
And now we're not only concerned about their well-being, but we want to see them return to the fold.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I would die if Lady Sif came back, because she was not killed in Ragnarok, and she was largely missing from getting an end story because she was filming her other show, obviously, Blindspot.
Yeah.
So she largely got dropped off of the storyline. So in technicality, she's alive and out there, you know?
Can I mention one character that I've heard rumor of maybe in Endgame? And I am a huge, huge fan of this actress. For the love of God, do not bring Jane Foster back.
What? She's not allowed back in the MCU. That character is garbage.
We don't know if she's dead, but, you know.
She's dead in our hearts.
And trust me, I love me some Natalie Portman. But please don't come back.
Who said that? She's not coming back.
You know, there was, you know, and I'm trying to think of the other scientists' names that they were, you know, do they wrap their story up as well as those B-level characters? Because they played so much of a role in some of the movies, and this is a scientific, you know, event involving, you know, things that are their specialties, do they close their arc in a minor way as well?
I think I'm going to say this right now, and we'll know in April if this is true or not. But I think because of Thor Ragnarok divorcing itself largely from the original Thor stuff, including Jane and Darcy and all of the threads of like Thor 1 and 2, they really went in such a different direction. I don't think they're going to pull on any of Thor's original people from those two films because of the way that Ragnarok really like went in the other direction.
I'd be completely fine with that.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case for any other films except for Thor. But like, I mean, even Peggy got like a little shot, you know, like in Cap's Compass, which I think is very telling of like the emotion and the sort of like the thought process behind Cap's journey that he's that's still for him that touchstone, you know. So that's the fact that she got, you know, she made it in there.
She got a shout out.
But she's, I mean, even though she was only in, she's only fully in one film, and then she's like cameos in others. She is huge in the creation of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the creation of the Avengers. So, like, that's a beautiful touch point to add in there. But I don't think we're ever going to see Jane Foster again. I think that that's from Natalie Portman, not even just from the MCU.
Yeah, the Jane Foster ship has sailed.
Yeah. I mean, they're the worst ship other than Natasha and Bruce. They are the worst ship in the entire MCU. And come at me because it's true.
Yeah, I agree. All right, folks, so please send us your feedback. We're very interested in knowing what you think about the Avengers Endgame trailer. Also, certainly, if you end up going to go see Once Upon a Deadpool this week, we want to hear your thoughts on that, as well as Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is also coming out this week. So there's fun stuff, and so please let us know what your thoughts are on it. Email guardians@randomchatter.com. You can also find us on Discord. You know how to do that.
You could also find us online and talk to us weekly on Twitter @randomchatter. Individually, you can find me at @TWTAboutLizzie on Twitter. Tim, where are you at?
At Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
John?
You know what? I'm not going to post. I'm not going to plug my own personal Twitter, as we started talking about the beginning of the episode. For those that of you have carried this long through, my agency at DCHSEMA on Instagram is doing an ugly sweater competition. Mine is Thanos. Come on, support your favorite Guardians of the MCU host. Go to on Instagram at DCHSEMA. Vote for number 22. I came in second last year. I'm not above pimping myself out on the network to claim number one just for my own sense of pride. So that's what I'm going to promote this week.
And Tim and I have already cast our votes for John.
That's right.
On Instagram.
Quick legal disclaimer. The opinions of John and the opinions of Random Chatter, Guardians of the MCU, and all associated co-hosts and affiliates do not necessarily represent those of the DC Emergency Management Homeland Security Agency.
That is true.
Thank you, Tim. As the senior advisor, I should have said that.
But we probably should represent them, is all I'm saying. But we don't. But on Instagram, you can also find the network at Random Chatter. And I am at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie on Instagram, which is my favorite social media platform. So come find us. You can find all our other shows at randomchatter.com, including my brand new podcast, All About Disney, on episode 3, Enchanted Chatter. So go check that out. And we have a lot of other amazing podcasts to offer your earballs, and you should go fill your ears with those podcasts. That's right.
And please continue to spread the word and support us. Leaving reviews continue to help, whether it be on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or TuneIn. And tell your friends about us. I was sporting my wonderful Thanos ugly Christmas sweater today. People said, hey, that's great. We started talking about Marvel, driving towards the network. So tell your friends about us, especially as you buy them Christmas presents that have to do with Marvel. You can also find us at randomchatter.com/Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you get more access to our Patreon channel, where it's the best way to interact with us. And randomchatter.com/discord is where you can do that. Tim and Liz are having competitions where Liz is now showing her stuffed animals, and Tim is throwing up Legos.
These are Trelly stuffed animals, excuse me.
it's just an honor to see Liz on video. She doesn't often sign in with her video.
I usually don't show my face anymore.
Yeah, it's a sneak peek. Unless they go to your Instagram account,
then you can see my face all the time, because that's where my face
absolutely
lives.
Absolutely. And oh, now Tim's hiding from
us. We should do a full video record. Sometimes it's pretty magical when we are all on video.
I need to get my internet fixed first.
Me too.
Tim, that goes back
Tim,
to you.
Tim, that's
now.
You.
Yeah, that's you, Tim.
All right, fantastic.
Transition.
Well, thanks again, folks, for joining us, and we will see you in about a week.